The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfi with RE/MAX, the Golfi team. Welcome to the Golfi Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition with Rick Samprin.
Yes, that's my name. His name is Rob Golfi. It's another Saturday morning here on 900CHML, and it is the Golfi Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, as we focus on some of the biggest stories in real estate and housing in this neck of the woods and really around the world. No topic is a stranger to us. We've covered it from top to bottom. If you want to get things covered in terms of selling your house, or you are in the market to buy a home, maybe you've been waiting on the sidelines, patiently waiting for the Bank of Canada to drop interest rates. By the way, we'll talk about that on the show. Well, maybe now is the time to jump in. And if you do so, you have to get the number one RE/MAX team in Canada, the Golfi team, on your side. You can do so by calling them at 905-575-7700. That's 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfi.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. If you've been on TikTok or Facebook, Instagram, X, you certainly have noticed the Golfi team. If not, give them a follow or a like. Great content on social media. And if you have a question for the Golfi team you would like answered on a future program, send them an email. Questions@robgolfi.com is the email address. By the way, we do have a listener email this morning that we'll get to. The individual's name is Tony, and he really recounts a story I think that can relate and apply to many in this community. As always, we'll begin with what is happening in the real estate life of Mr. Rob Golfi.
Well, it's pretty close to April of 2023 in the first 10 days. Basically, unit numbers, and it's hard to tell in the first 10 days. And I did 10 days just because I knew all the numbers are in for the first 10 days. And unit numbers are down. That's basically the Hamilton surrounding area. But the volume is almost at par. Like, so obviously, the value of real estate has gone up a bit right, to make the value the same. So if we're doing 6% less business, but the volume of business is the same, so that means the real estate has gone up in value. But I just wanted to give a little update on that. Usually it's just a little weekly update. Appointments are starting to climb up again. People are looking. They are looking out there. It's surprising, you know. People feel confident out there and looking for homes. It's funny, even though the way the interest rates are. But you wanted to talk about a letter or an email.
Yeah. Let's get to that. And this, I found this interesting because, you know, we've kind of talked about it on the show before, and I think there's a lot of homeowners, certainly landlords, who are in this same situation. And this email came to me from Tony, who listens to the show all the time. And Tony writes, "Hi, I'm 75 years old and I need to sell my property for age and health reasons. Do you think this is easy? No, tenants have all the rights and landlords don't." Tony goes on to say, "I'm left with putting my house on the market with a tenant living in it. And with a tenant living in the home, nobody will buy it because after I sell it, I have to apply to have them move. And that will take more than a year. Who wants to buy a home in this condition, even if the price is way below market? Who wants to be a small landlord? Small landlords need protection from bad tenants. Thanks, Tony." Rob, we've heard and seen these kind of stories from time to time.
Yeah, and I think that this is a gentleman that probably has a basement apartment for rent, I'm assuming, or is it just another property? But it is tough. It is tough. So you cannot give anybody notice to leave unless you have a firm deal in your hands. But unless you want to make an offer to them and say, "Hey, here's $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever amount of money, if you leave by this date, I will give you that in a certified bank draft. As soon as you are walking out the door and I'm changing the locks on the door."
Right.
So that's the only way you're going to get it. And it's sad to say, sometimes that is a lot of money for those people. But what happens is the problem is when you offer them that money, they think about it, they start looking, and they can't find anything in the same price point that they're renting their house for.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going, well, wait a minute. Even the $10,000 is not going to be good. That's not, that's going to cover me maybe for 6 months. And then after that, I'm drowning in debt with paying rent. So that, that becomes difficult. So sometimes you have to give, you know, a $10,000-$15,000, you know, just say here, I'll give you $10,000 or $15,000. If you leave by this date, I will give you that check. Mm. And a lot of times they take it. They take it. Now that's how apartment buildings are bought. They make a deal with the, they're buying a building and there's a lot of low rents in these buildings. And they say, hey, every person in the building gets $10,000. They're going to offer them $10,000 to leave. And, so what happens is the cost of buying that building is part of giving tenants money to vacate, and it's happening a lot right now. And you know, it's getting tough. It is getting tough.
So in Tony's case, and for anyone who owns a home, they're looking to sell and they have a tenant, as long as they have a firm deal to sell, do they have to give the tenant notice? Or, I mean, it's going to be painfully obvious when the for sale sign goes on the lawn.
Yeah, they can't give notice until they have a firm deal.
Okay.
They can't. So here's the dilemma. You've got a tenant and now you got to ask the tenant, well, we have somebody that wants to see the house. Now the tenant starts making excuses.
Right.
Well, I'm too busy. I got this. I got that. It's easier to sell a house without the tenant in there. The tenant could be, I'm going to tell you something. Tenants, they can be your best friend. They get along great with the landlord and everything. But when it comes to them having to move, they're not the nicest people. And I get it. I understand. Because now they have to go and find a place to move. And basically, they're moving based on what the landlord wants, not what they want. So sometimes they've only been there for a year and they got to move again. It becomes tough. So I'll give you a perfect example. I had a house that I leased out. Tenant moved out. House was completely fixed up and everything. I left it empty for a year. Because I didn't want to put it, because I wasn't sure if I was selling it. I was kind of sitting on the fence, right? So it was easier for me to keep it empty for a year to make that decision. And I did sell it after. I did end up selling it. But if I put a tenant in there, if I needed to sell it, it would have been more difficult. So I would get people asking me, hey, are you going to rent that? Are you going to rent that? Just say, I haven't made the decision yet. I'm undecided whether I'm going to sell it or keep it. If I keep it, yes, I will rent it. If I'm selling it, it's going to stay empty for now. And I showed up there all the time because I didn't want anybody squatting in there. I didn't want anybody I was there probably at least once or twice a week, just walked in, checked it out. And then made sure everything was fine. Mm-hmm. If I put a tenant there, I would have been in a struggle. I would still probably have the property right now. I'd probably have to go to the landlord tenant board trying to evict him or whatever. But it was an easy peasy sale. I listed it, sold it within less than 30 days and less than 30 days after that, it closed and it was all good. He's, I think the best thing for him to do is make him an offer to vacate, and make him a good offer because he'll do better on the sale price because there's no tenant in there, nothing like that. Just do that. It'll be easy for him.
How much money would he leave on the table if the tenant is still there while he's trying to sell?
You know what? Because he's got some health issues and everything, it looks like he needs to get out, and he will leave money on the table because it's going to be harder to sell. And then what if the tenant doesn't move out? And on closing date, it's a big scramble. Everybody's suing everybody and all that kind of stuff. My suggestion is make him an offer and have him find a place to move. Now, I'm actually going to see a lady. And she's selling a place and guess they're paying $1,000 a month rent. They've been there for 20 years.
Wow.
And I go, that's going to be tough to vacate this person. And I said, the only way you're going to get rid of this person is you're going to have to write a check. Yeah. I said, that is the only way. And even that might not work because, like this guy can't afford more than $1,000. He's used to paying $1,000 a month. Like, but by the time he looks for another house, it's going to be over $2,000. It's going to be maybe even close to 2,600. So this guy's going to go from paying $1,000 a month to maybe $2,600 a month on the same size property or whatever. And he may not even get a basement with that. He may just get the main floor. Who knows? But that's the reality of that's happening with these tenants. And sometimes they take the money and go, and then they regret it a year later, and or they're in better shape. They say, hey, I could afford it. I appreciate the $10,000 or $5,000, whatever works for them to leave. And they end up, you know, both parties are happy.
Because Tony and maybe many other people in this scenario might not have $5,000 or $10,000 rolling around or hanging around to make an offer, can they sell the home and then grab, let's say, $5,000 out of that sale and then give it to the tenant? Say, here you go. You got to leave by, you know, the closing date or a couple of weeks before closing.
Well, it's hard
yeah.
For them because they're not going to get people into the house because the tenant's not going to allow them in there. They're
right.
going to give them a hard time.
Yeah.
So he's not going to get the offer and unless he gets a line of credit on the house and just writes him a check. Or he knows somebody that can help him out, and he signs an IOU. If he doesn't pay, they can put a lien against his house or whatever. But my suggestion is make him an offer, and like he says, he's willing to discount the price.
Well, he feels with the tenant in, he's going to lose some money on trying to sell.
Yeah,
yeah.
He will lose more money with the tenant in than him writing a check.
Wow.
And he'll lose more money. Yeah. Because it just becomes difficult because it'll take longer to sell and it may take 9 months, 10 months before he can actually like unload this house mm-hmm. because of the fact of the tenant. But if he writes him a check, no headaches, here's your money. Goodbye. Put the sign up, sold in 2 weeks
yep.
and boom. And he's off to the races.
Tony, call the Golfie team, 905-575-7700. Again, 905-575-7700. Online, robgolfie.com. That's robgolfi.com. When we come back, we'll talk about the Bank of Canada standing pat. And does that mean interest rates are going to be coming down this summer? We'll toss that around next on the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfie, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpman Realty, the Golfie team. You can follow the Golfie team online at robgolfie.com. That's robgolfi.com. The best listings in town. You know they're going to be a hot commodity because they're not going to last long. Get yours on the website too, 905-575-7700. Call that number. You'll be calling the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. The Golfie team, 905-575-7700. So Rob, you've had a normal April, would you call it a normal spring market?
So far the spring market's been pretty good. And last year, the spring market was really good. And my big thing is I'm crossing my fingers that we can match or do better than last year and which we are. And, but it was the second half of last year was really, really tough. So I know we can beat those numbers because the second half of last year was like almost non-existent of real estate. It was just quiet. It was dormant.
Yeah.
So I know that, we'll have a decent year and people are looking and, you know, there's a lot of positiveness in the marketplace out there.
Well, before we get to what the Bank of Canada decided earlier this week, you have a story about buying new as opposed to buying old.
Yeah, so I have a couple. They work here in my office, and the wife is kind of an assistant to her husband, but they both have their real estate license. Now, he wants to build new. They got the lot. The builder's ready to go and build and everything else like that. And she prefers to buy resale. Buy something newer that's done. And I agree with her. Like he thought I was going to agree with him, but I agree with her. So here's the positive or let's go with the new build. If you buy a brand new house, you get what you want. You get the colors you want. You get everything you want.
Right.
But when you're working with the builder, you know, you're going to look at it like he's going to have standard toilets. He's going to have standard this, standard that. Now you're going to upgrade. It's going to be a lot more money than what you think it's going to be. And then once you actually get everything done, everything you move in, okay, now you got to put a window covering. You got to buy your appliances and you got to do the driveway. If they don't do the driveway, you got to fence the yard. You've got to put a deck on the back. You got to, there's so many things that have to be done to that house that's costly. Now, if you're buying resale, a lot of times if you're patient, you can find the right house for you. It's got the fenced yard. It's newer. The house is newer. Yeah, maybe the paint color is not quite what it is, but hey, it's cheaper to paint a house than put a, you know, fencing and everything else and landscaping. But the one thing about a resale house, you might find a house may have an in-ground pool, fenced yard, finished basement, all the window coverings, appliances are included. Everything is done. You move in and the most you may have to do is paint. I believe in the resale. I like it. I remember there was one house in Ancaster, was it earlier this year or was it last year, late last year in the fall? Beautiful house on the ravine, bungalow. I went there and it wasn't the area that I moved in. Not because I think the area is bad. It's just I live in a different area. And if that house was in the area that where I live, I would have bought it in a heartbeat. It had everything, finished basement, window coverings, in-ground pool, landscaping, you know, outdoor kitchen. Like it had everything. So to replace that, once you get a brand new house and to put what this house had, very costly, very costly. Yeah, you're paying a little more money for this house, no doubt, but you got everything done. You just walk in, bring your luggage and all your boxes, and you are free to do whatever you want there. And I feel that resale is the way to go, not because I am a realtor and I sell mostly resale. I just think it's easier. If you're patient, you will find the right house and you will not be disappointed.
Back to the husband's property or piece of land, is he going to lose on this if he unloads it?
I think the situation is that there is a lot there and the builder will build for them. And I think they don't own the lot. I think the builder owns it.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, the builder owns it. And it's a private builder. It's not like a subdivision or anything like that. But like I said to him, you know, and even, you know, Lou Tellerico, he's got a house he wants to build. I said, don't do it. I said, buy a resale, sell it. He's got a house that he's going to tear down and build on it. I said, don't do it. I said, you will run into costs that you will not expect. And then you're going to be going, I should have listened. I should have just bought resale. I should have bought resale. And you'd be surprised. You ever drive around in the country, and especially country properties, I don't know. But when people build a house in the country, you don't see their landscaping done. You still see the stone driveway, no bushes in the front. and because they went over budget on their new house.
Yeah.
You'll see a brand new house out there in the middle of a 1 or 2 acre parcel. And there's no landscaping done, no driveway done, no fencing. There's zero done. And it's because it costs a lot of money. And it takes them 10 years before they even get the landscaping to the landscaping because it is so expensive.
Here's the other thing, too, with building from scratch is the time component. Like, time is money.
Absolutely. Me? Like, I've got two jobs going on right now with small commercial buildings, right? I got two different contractors, two different locations at two different towns and cities. And I've got good people. My personal assistant, she's been, managing pretty well both of them. Like, all the emails. She just says, hey, Rob. And she knows how I think. She knows what I want. She goes, yeah, no, he do it this way, go this way, go that way. So, but if I was there doing that and not paying attention to my business or the agents that work on my team or anything, it would be more costly to me. A lot of people don't realize when you start building a house and you're on that, you will end up, it'll cost you money because you're showing up every day. You got to pick out fixtures. You got to change this, change that. It does take the time out of you, and it depends what your time's worth. I mean, and for me, I mean, if I was building a house, I'd get a general contractor for sure that can handle everything, but you still have to pick the colors. you still have to do that. I'd rather have a house that's complete. I don't have time to go to a plumbing store and pick all the stuff out and go to a decorating store. Do you like this wallpaper? Or do you like this color paint? I don't have that time. I really don't. And that's what happens when you build new. But when you go to a house that's already done, wow, this is beautiful. I'm looking, walking around. This is, hey, little Joey will love this room and all that kind of stuff. But that's my opinion. And it's just, to me, resell is the way to go. And even if it costs a little more money, just say, like, sometimes there's a house, let's say it's a $1 million beautiful house in ground pool and everything. And really it's worth maybe $980,000 or $975,000. You know what? I don't care. Like, I've overpaid for houses, but guess what? I win all the time, because if it's not next year, it's going to be worth way more than that in the following year, or even 2 years. Like, I paid over $150,000 in what the value was. And when I had the appraisal done, they actually said, hey, listen, this is over than what the appraisal was. I said, I knew that. I knew that when I bought it, but I wanted it. And so, you know, you have to put that at, you have to make up the difference in cash to with the banks, because they don't want to leverage the property too much in case they have to take it back. But what happened is, on those properties, I've already made my money back in less than 2 years. So don't like, if it's the right property, don't nickel and dime over $10,000, because after you do that and lose it and somebody else buys it, you will be saying to everybody, I had the chance to buy that house. I should have, I wish I did. And I messed up. Don't regret, just do it. And you will, you know, real estate goes up. Can you believe it? Like, houses were selling like 30 years ago for $100,000. Now they're selling for like $800,000, $900,000. Yeah. So like, they go up in value.
It's pretty wild. Another thing too with the new builds is, you know, there could be a shortage of things. It wasn't that long ago we had a shortage of lumber. Remember that? And then the price of lumber went through the roof. Or, you know, maybe one of the contractors goes on strike, or they get sick, or something happens. Like, there's so many things that can go sideways. Maybe you change your mind on, you know, a concept drawing and it's back to the drawing board. There's so many wrinkles and curveballs that can come your way.
The one big thing that hurt a lot of people is when the materials went up in price and they were building, it hurt them so bad. I know the people that were building their nice, you know, beautiful dream home, their custom home, whatever, it cost them 30% more for everything. And it killed them. And the builders, it hurt them too, but they had to honor the contracts that they had. But they put a stipulation now. Builders have a stipulation in their contract. Hey, materials go up, you're paying more for this property. They've got it in there. You just got to read that little fine print. That's, you know, very like one or two millimeters high. But you got to better read that, because if construction costs go up, they've got it in their contract to add that to the purchase price that you bought for. And can you handle that? Maybe not, because you got pre-approved for only a certain amount.
Are there people still looking to build their own homes? Is this still a popular option? I know we kind of see them, and you referenced it. You know, a lot of these custom homes are going up in places like Flamborough, you know, the rural parts of our community. Is this still, you know, high amongst the wish list of many home owners?
It is. More the upper wealthy people are doing it more. The middle class is they're humming and hawing. They're kind of scared just because they don't want to get stuck. And a building lot now, like, you're buying a property, like, you're looking at, like, let's say you're going to Ancaster, you're looking at close $1 million. So once you've got $1 million there, you got to tear down the house, the cost of that. Then you've got to apply for permit and everything else. So you're going to be in for over $2 million once you're done. And can you afford that? Like, it's Ancaster, people that are moving there, they can afford it. But what about on a mountain? They want to tear down an old one and a half story house and build there. They're getting expensive, and it's becoming difficult. And you know, prior to 2017, properties were pretty reasonable to buy, tear down, and build. It was like happening, no problem. Everybody was jumping on it, doing it, no problem. But, you know, 2017, we had a big spike in the market. Then market continued. And it got to a point where it's unaffordable to buy. The only people that are buying those houses and tearing them down are the wealthy people. They say, hey, I want to live in this neighborhood. I grew up in this neighborhood. I got lots of money. I don't care. It's my last house, and this is where I'm going to stay. They're happy about it until they call me and put it for sale and say, hey. So they want more money all the time.
Speaking of tearing things down and rebuilding, there's been a lot of talk about fourplexes in Ontario. And Premier Doug Ford has said, you know, he's not been in favor of this kind of move, but is going to leave it up to municipalities to do what they want. So, you know, could the city of Hamilton say, all right, yeah, you want to build a fourplex on a piece of land or in a suburb, in a neighborhood, go ahead. What do you think that would, like, you know, say on the Hamilton Mountain, the most common kind of neighborhood, there's an investor who buys a bungalow, tears it down, builds a fourplex or maybe four units on a property. What's that going to do to property values in that neighborhood?
You know what? It depends the style of the fourplex that they build. Mm. They don't want to, like, people aren't going to want a big square building in next door to them.
Yeah.
If they put some style to it, you know, if there's enough parking on the property and everything else, I think people will have not a problem. I think if you go to Ancaster with that or Dundas in these nice little neighborhoods, and I'm not saying there's no nice neighborhoods in Hamilton or Burlington, mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that not everybody's going to be really liking having that next door to them now, but that's why Doug Ford's saying, hey, you know what? Let the municipalities decide where you can put these. Let's just not let everybody, you know, put them up anywhere you want. And which I agree with them to a certain degree. I think it you just can't just put them in any neighborhood because people pay a lot of money for you know, living in certain neighborhoods and being in that neighborhood. So now you want to fill it up with, you know, all like multiplexes all over the place, and then you just change the dynamics of the neighborhood. So you just got to be very, very careful about that. And I get it. Like, no matter what the government does, there's going to be a portion of them they're going to love it. And me as an investor, yeah, I love it because, you know what I mean? Like, I own properties. I'm an investor of real estate. I love real estate, and for me, it's perfect. If I can put a fourplex anywhere, I'm all for it because I'm an investor. But for me as a homeowner living in a nice, quiet neighborhood and all the houses are all the same size, either they're all two stories or they're all bungalows or whatever, I wouldn't want this, you know, monster house next to me that has four families in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just I think there's a time, there's a place for that, places in Hamilton or surrounding areas that they can designate those areas.
The other part of that, and you kind of mentioned it, was the parking. And if we have these fourplexes or triplexes or just multifamily dwellings popping up in neighborhoods, we're going to have a lot more vehicles. That means a lot more traffic. That means a lot unsafer streets, especially if there's a lot of kids around. So that's something that I think the government has to keep in mind for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It totally changes everything. The schools now, what, can we handle that many kids? Because mm-hmm. if they're all two bedroom apartments, you know, there's a couple in there with a kid, and usually every person's got a car, you know, now, like, you know what I mean? So you got two cars for every apartment. So that means you need parking for eight cars on that lot. Is there enough now? And now the city, usually they want, you know, so much grass in the front, you know, is the back of the property going to be all parking lot? Like, it's just like, you know, you just like, yeah, because you don't want them parking on the street because it's going to fill up the streets.
Yep. If you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a home, call the number one REMAX team in Canada, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfy.com. That's robgolfy.com. I know I promised it before, but true this time. We're going to talk about the Bank of Canada's decision not to raise interest rates coming up here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpman Realty, the Golfy team. Find them on the World Wide Web, robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. And call the number one RE/MAX team in the country, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. Earlier this week, the Bank of Canada and Governor Tiff Macklem said, on interest rates, we are standing pat. It's going to remain at 5%. Inflation is going the right way, but not quite ready to pull the trigger on reducing interest rates. A lot of people, Rob, saying that, you know, June might be the time. Others, including a person that I spoke to earlier this week on CHML, Jean-Paul Lamb, a former assistant chief economist with the Bank of Canada, saying, you know what, September is probably the likeliest time we'll see our first cut this year. What are you hearing and what impact do you think this is going to have?
I don't think it's going to happen in June, because I think what they're doing is they're keeping the economy going nice and steady. It's not booming like crazy. You know, it's like a perfect example. They announced the state of emergency in Niagara Falls for this this eclipse thing that's happening. Yeah. And I mean the roads were dead that morning. I think they scared a lot of people from going to Niagara Falls.
Yes.
And they said, hey, I'm not going. I don't want to be part of that chaos in Niagara Falls. There was a lot of people there. There's no doubt. There was a lot of people there. So the reflection of the media kind of held back a lot of people from going down there. So the same thing is what the Bank of Canada, they're probably saying, okay, you know, there's hope that we may do that, but they're not saying they're doing it, but there's hope.
Right.
And just to keep people on a positive note, and everything is driven by media and how the market goes, you know. And if everybody, like, all these articles will come out and they'll say, hey, this is what's happening, and everybody's reading it, and then all of a sudden the market changes, and because we're reading an article in the paper and stuff like that. So what these guys are doing, they're saying, hey, we're going to do it, we're hoping we do it in June, but if we don't do it in June, like, we'll eventually do it. So people are still buying houses. The market's doing pretty good right now. I like it's a balanced market. It's doing well. Some houses are in competition, but not aggressively over in competition. You're not seeing people jumping in, you know, 100, 200,000, unless they priced at 200,000 under or whatever. But it is moving along, and people are, you know, are signing, I think, a 5-year rate. Like, you can go 5 years under 5% or 4.9 or something like that, which is not that bad. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, like, we're talking like 40, probably more years ago, 50 years ago, 6% was like, you were lucky to have an interest rate at 6%.
Yeah.
So we got so spoiled with the 1.5 to 2%. And believe me, I did too. I was like, I mean, we all did, but this is reality. We got to get used to this, under this 5% but it's going to float around between 4.25 to 4.75. If you're going to do a 5-year rate or whatever down the road, it is that next year or the year after, but that's where it's going to be. And we just got to get used to the 5%.
I was speaking with the regional VP of RE/MAX Canada earlier this week on Good Morning Hamilton. We were talking about, you know, the Bank of Canada's decision, the spring market, and she was saying that because the rates have not changed and may not change in June, that there's going to be a lot of people jumping in to buy a home, because when the rates do come down, a lot more people are going to jump into the market. So is now the time to get in to buy that home?
Absolutely. I think the market, you know, we hit bottom in probably November, December with the values of homes of last year, November, and partially in some parts, in some areas in January. Now things picked up back again. But the prices, I know they're not affordable, but they are good. They're not going to jump down. Like they're not coming down that far. So you either get in now or you're going to regret not getting in. And when you do get in, you're going to, you know, say, I should have. So this is a thing people are sitting in and don't know. And you got to do what everybody else is not doing. So if everybody's buying, you sit back. If everybody's not buying, that's when you buy. You got to do the opposite of the mass of the population. And that's when you know you're smarter than they are.
From a seller's perspective, are most of them going to wait until the rates drop because they know there's going to be a lot more people around to see their properties?
Well, if people have a home now and they're upgrading or downgrading, I don't think they're waiting to see the interest rates drop. I think they're just moving anyway. Some people think, you know, it's embedded in them. Oh, you know, hey, you know, cousin Joe and whatever, you should wait till the fall to put your house on the market because interest rates are going to go down. Everything's relevant. Like if he's going to sell his house with the interest rates down a quarter point, he's going to be buying a house with the interest rates a quarter point. It balances out. So if he's selling now and buying now, it balances out. I mean, but if you're selling now and going to an old age home or retirement home or whatever, yeah, like there's different times. Sometimes you get lucky and you sell at the peak and sometimes you don't. And it just depends, you know, how fast you want to get into a retirement home or get out of owning real estate.
If you're a first-time home buyer or you are selling your house, you got to call the number one REMAX team in Canada, the Golfie Team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfie.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. In our final segment, the CMHC has made a prediction, and it's the same thing that Rob said more than a year ago. We'll tackle that next on the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, on 900 CHML.
The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
And last go round here on the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfie. Rob's a sales representative with REMAX Escarpman Realty, the Golfie Team. Call them today, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfie.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. You'll be contacting the number one REMAX team in Canada. If you're selling your house, you want to buy a house, call the Golfie Team. So, Rob, I got a chuckle out of this when I saw the headline. Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation predicting the price of homes in this country to hit a record high in 2026. You made this prediction more than a year ago. So are they just copying you now?
I think so. They're probably looking at me and saying, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. I don't know. Like his predictions are pretty good.
Yeah.
But I do feel that. And I'll tell you, 2026 will be just like 2021, and 2027 is going to be just like 2022, the first quarter. Now, I could be off a little bit. It's hard to tell, but I'll know better once we get into that market, and I'll know exactly when to sell, when to buy, when to get out, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the one thing I didn't expect was after 2021, I didn't expect another jump in 2022. That kind of threw me way out, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But now, because we're in a fast-paced market where everything's moving fast, high immigration we have, we've got so much going on, this is going to happen. That's why I'm saying get into a house now. Just own something, because when 2022 comes, you're going to make money on that. And we're going to go through the same thing. It's going to skyrocket, boom, boom. There'll be an adjustment, but it's still going to be higher. Going to be higher than going into than 2025 and partially in 2026. It's going to be the exact same thing is going to happen.
And you know, Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation pointing to the same factors that you pointed to more than a year ago, and you kind of just touched on it as well. Population growth, way more people are coming to this country, and we're not building homes fast enough.
We're not. They're living in hotels right now.
Yeah,
they've got no place to put them. And I was just reading in a paper, an article in the paper about these small houses that they were putting in the people's backyards. And that's just one. I mean, they got to do like thousands of those all across Ontario. But I'll tell you, Ontario, BC, Vancouver, they're gonna have an explosion happening in a couple years, and just be ready for it. I'm still buying real estate. I bought real estate in high times, low times, but I'll tell you, I win every time.
Would you advise? I'm sure there's a lot of parents and grandparents listening right now and thinking, man, my kids are not going to be able to afford a home right now. They just can't do it. Co-ownership, we've talked about this numerous times, is now the time to jump in. Just own a home with someone else, build that equity, and get ready for 2026.
Do it. Yeah, do it. Find somebody, cousin, whatever, friend. Just, you know, get together on it. You know, if you got a rich uncle, say, listen, if you put my name on this, give me the down payment, I will pay you the down payment in 2 years or 3 years. If not, I will sell the property. You get your down payment back, and I end up getting the difference on that. Do it. They'll do it. There's a lot of people. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people out there. You don't think they're rich, but they're rich. I'll tell you that. They've got money, and they're the ones that don't dress rich. The ones that dress rich aren't that rich. The ones that dress like just everyday Joe, I'm telling you, they got tons of money in the bank. Call those guys up. Don't call the guys with the money. That's wearing all the good stuff.
and when 2026 rolls around, are you expecting kind of, because you said, like, you know, it's going to be like 2021, 2022 all over again. Would that be the case for both Hamilton, Burlington, and Niagara as well?
Yeah, everywhere, not every most cities and towns in Ontario for sure, and BC in BC, the same thing is going to happen, and it's just Ontario is just one of the most, you know, heavily populated provinces in Canada. That this is where everything is. Toronto is not too far from an hour's drive. Won't be an hour's drive anymore once we get this. The population keeps growing, this immigration thing is the issue. I have nothing against immigration. I don't have anything, but they should kind of, hey, let's close the borders for now. Let's catch up. But no, they're still bringing them in. I mean, they're not stopping. It's, you know, remember that, what do you call it? BP that had the valve going in the ocean there. They couldn't shut it for about 2 months or whatever.
Yes, yeah,
that's it. That's what's happening. That's the immigration level. It's coming in, and it took them 2 months later to shut it down. They got to shut it down and catch up and then start the immigration again. Mm-hmm. And more people are applying now because they know that could happen.
Yeah, and the other part of that too, and I know we got to wrap up here soon, but is that, you know, the skilled labor shortage. For example, a lot of these laborers who are coming here are from other countries. They have the skills. Not a lot of, at least less students are going to those skilled trades kind of programs, even though we have some amazing ones, including here in Hamilton at Mohawk College. But we have a lot of people coming from overseas, picking up, you know, those skills that we've had for eons, and that's just, you know, the fact of the matter. We got to go. Hey, you can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for The Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Rob, great show as always, and thank you for listening to The Golfy Real Estate Show. We're back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.